Welcome to the Gurr in Fangirl podcast, a podcast where we discuss pop culture and fandom. Each episode, we talk with celebrities, fans, and creators about their work in the media that inspires them. Now here's your host, the creator of The Squee Project, filmmaker, fangirl, and feminist, Hansi Oppenheimer.
Hey, it's Hansi. And today I had the honor of talking with Scream Queen Dee Wallace. While I was aware of her incredible body of work, I didn't know that she had been a life coach for 30 years. We discussed how she creates positivity in her life using her method called Directing Your Day. We talked about her career, her work on Cujo, and of course, I had to bring up her fantastic role on Supernatural. She's a true inspiration and offers life coaching every Sunday on a call-in show. Please check out the links in the show notes for more about her, as well as her daughter's book coming out the end of June. So I initially wanted to talk to you about your career in horror and how you've seen the changes because, you know, you've been in the industry for such a long time and have such an amazing career. And then I just watched your TED Talk.
Good. What'd you think?
I loved it, and I thought what you said was really important, and I wondered, so I've been sort of going through similar things now. I just turned 59 recently, and I think sort of women come into their own in their later 50s. Is that something you feel is true, or?
I think people come into their own when they decide to.
Okay, that's fair.
I do, and now that can absolutely be a direct mirror to their age, because the older you get, the wiser you get, hopefully. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of life lessons by then. And so it can correspond to an age, but it doesn't have to be an older age. My daughter literally just wrote a book. It comes out June 28th. It's called Eat, Pray, #FML. And it's literally, it's literally about her finding herself and her realizing her responsibility for her after this horrible divorce and falling in love with the guy that dumped her right after. And so she went on this trip by herself to Europe. And I think it's going to be a hugely important book for bringing what we're talking about to the attention of the public, because we're all so used to blaming somebody else. This is what happened to me. This is what they did to me. This is why I can't. This is why it's hard. And then we wonder why we're not moving ahead in our life, you know?
Yeah, I
think it's up to us. I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, well, you're an older woman in the movie industry, but you're working. And I said, yeah, because I don't have any belief system that supports me not working at all, no matter what age I am. Neither did, you know, Betty White or Irene Ryan. I mean, it's a belief system that either limits you or empowers you.
Oh, I think that's an excellent point. I've been doing some mind managing, and it's really been helpful. It's sort of spurred my career the last year.
Oh, you bet.
Just working on what's, you know, because the whole thing about truth, you know, what is true, that whole thing. And then, well, what's actually really helpful for me to think about myself or my situation? And it makes a huge difference.
Well, it does, because, again, just in the act of doing that, you agree to be responsible for yourself. You know, I'm going to look at me. I'm going to look at what I think. I'm going to look at where I'm holding me back, where I'm limiting me. And then you open yourself up to, well, the world of all possibilities. And then it's really exciting. So I think, you know, that really has been in place since the very beginning of my career. I was raised in Kansas, and I had this kind of innate, naive understanding of life that we're just taking care of. So, you know, I clicked my heels and off I went to New York to be a movie star. Never been out of Kansas in my life, you know. But the universe showed up for me because I didn't think it wouldn't.
So that's actually been in your thought process all the time. I misunderstood from the TED Talk that maybe, you know, that was something newer that you discovered.
Oh, well, that had been something I'd known, but I didn't know it consciously. You okay. Understand the difference between that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So flipping off to New York in naivete, it took me another 30 years to realize, oh, I have to do consciously what I did unconsciously back then.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, life is a process. I know from my channel, I know that we're here to learn how to work with and direct energy. That's why we're here. That's what our purpose is. Is how can I work with energy, and everything's energy, to create the desires of my heart.
And your career has been pretty amazing. And I love, you know, the things you've been doing recently too. You know, I mean, obviously the early stuff is legendary, but I mean, I loved seeing you on Supernatural. I thought that your character was so wonderful and it was so nice to see.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. Yeah. So much fun. The boys, first of all, they're just delicious and yummy. But second of all, they're just really sweet guys and very professional to work with. I mean, the whole set, you know, they've been together 14 years. It's like walking into a family that just knows how each other part works, which makes a big difference, as you know. In any kind of situation, when there's flow, it's better. And, and the part was just fabulous and wonderful. And I just, you know, we improvised a little and played. And it was just a really lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I think the fans really enjoyed it, to see this sassy older lady. I appreciated
that. Well, yeah, especially, you know, I love that. That line they gave me, you know, your hand's still on my leg. Well, I could move it up a little. You know, you don't get delicious lines like that on TV too much. So kudos to the producers on that one. And you know, I'm coming out in Rob Zombie's Three from Hell, which is the antithesis of the character I played in Supernatural. I mean, it's as far away from her as you can get. Just did a wonderful horror sci-fi combination film called Await the Dawn. And then I've got a little family coming out called, oh my God, they renamed it. Renovation of the Heart is what they renamed it, which I like. It was Fixer Upper, and now it's Renovation of the Heart, which I like a lot better. So, you know, and I'm off speaking and teaching, and I'm just doing everything I love. It's a good time in my life, boy.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, I mean, you know, your career has, you know, been so great for everyone to watch. I'm glad that, you know, on your end, you're enjoying it as much.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, that's really up to us, isn't it? It's really up to us to decide whether we're going to be happy or unhappy. Or, again, you know, we're taught, well, wait and see what happens during the day, and then you can decide if you're happy. But it really works the opposite way. Let me just choose to be happy, and then things that happen during the day are a lot better.
Yeah, I listen to a podcast, Unfuck Your Brain, and she was talking about just decide what your day is going to be in the morning. Like, are you going to be, you know, confident or happy or whatever, grateful? And then you deal with situations that come up in that mind frame. And it's a really interesting exercise and been very, very positive.
Yep. I call it directing your day. And okay. I don't get out of bed until I do it. Not this is going to be, but this is a great day. I'm in balance today. I'm in love today. I'm in joy today. I'm in health and wealth today. And everything that comes to me matches that direction in my life. And I'm telling you, it's unbelievable how different your days go when you just do that.
How long have you been practicing this sort of mind management or positive thinking?
Gosh, I've been teaching it for over 30 years, and I learned something new. Yeah, I learned something new and expansive every day. Okay. And I think that's really the definition. Somebody called, you know, I have a free call-in radio show every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and somebody called in and said, Dee, I want to know when I'm going to be there. And my channel said, you're never going to be there because there's no there to get to. It's just a continual expansion of understanding around energy. So that's pretty cool. We don't have to sweat about not making it this lifetime, you know?
Well, I totally agree. There is no there to get to. It's about the moment. You know, and we're all struggling to sort of stay in the moment. That's the constant practice.
Well, I don't feel like I struggle. And I, again, you know, energy works through the direction you give it. So if you say I'm struggling, that is a direction for your energy that you're going to struggle more that day.
Okay.
Everything's easy. Everything falls into place for me. You know, there's flow. Again, whatever you say, the universe has to match. So if you want an easier life, I'd start saying what I want instead of the old thoughts that you're trained to say and that you've been saying for eons and eons and eons now. You know, most of us think the same thoughts every day over and over and over again unconsciously. So no wonder we keep building on the same lives we've gotten instead of creating the new life we want to have. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. How is this you know, my frame of mind to go into, like, you know, working with a character? Is that in alignment with that, or how does that work for you?
You know, it's an interesting question because I never really realized I was channeling the characters. And I went, oh my God, this is what I've done in acting class for the last 10 years. I'm channeling information. And so the method I was taught, and it is definitely an acting method, is the Charles Conrad method, who's my mentor, who I consider changed my life as far as my acting. And it's all based on not figuring things out. Of course, if you have a physical thing or a certain kind of disease, you're an accent, you have to do your due diligence and study that and honor, you know, the truthfulness of that. But as far as figuring out the emotions and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do, I don't do that. I get my energy very, very high. I throw all my energy onto the person I'm working with. And then I allow my character to go where my character would go. For example, a great example is that moment in E.T. where I laugh when he says penis breath, you know, because most actors sitting down to figure that out, well, I'm playing a mom and he says a bad word and, you know, it would be Elliot, you know, no, and but that's not what happened. It was, and when I looked back with my daughter when she was little, when she would say things like that, I would laugh. But, you know, automatically we're taught to do something different in acting, and that's why I love this technique. So I, my intention when I do any role is to be as truthful and as honest as I can to that character so that the audience can feel what I'm feeling through me. And so, yes, a lot of what I work with in acting and my healing work is trust. I trust me. I trust the information that comes through me. I trust the people I work with, you know, to guide me. And it's hell for me when, because I have absolute total trust in my channel, to have a director give me some stupid direction and everything in me is going, no, no, that's not right. You know, it's, that's the hardest thing.
Sure. Because you're just showing up as, you know, the character. So to have someone, you know, try to stop that.
Well, if it's a great direction, you know, your Carrie's goes, oh yeah, that's truth. If it's a bad direction, you kind of throw up in your mouth a little.
Yeah, it's funny. So I think, you know, and you also come through in your characters, which I think is the mark of a really good actor, that, you know, it may be the character, but it's still also always you. There's a piece of you that's there. And definitely in the lighter characters, but I was surprised even when I saw you, like, in Death House recently, which is a pretty dark cameo there. There's still a bit of you there, which is really interesting.
Well, I think, you know, if you're playing a violin, your artistry and how you handle that violin makes all the difference, but you still are playing that instrument. You know, you've got to start with your instrument and then allow it to morph into wherever it wants to go in the moment.
What are your thoughts on, you know, obviously, you know, you've been honored with the title of Scream Queen. And Felissa Rose and I were talking about that and what meaning a Scream Queen has. And is that something you're proud of, or do you have...
You bet. You bet I am. Look, the queen is the top of anything. And I'm proud to own the fact that I'm one of the top at the horror genre. Look, I love horror because I love doing highly emotional work. And there's no genre that allows you to do more highly emotional work than the horror genre. I mean, I love doing comedy, but I think I would die if I spent my career doing comedy. It just doesn't stretch me that much, you know?
That's interesting.
So I'm proud to own Scream Queen. I mean, everybody knows I do everything else, you know, family films and Lifetime movies and Sweet Moms and Killer Moms, and, you know, I don't want to be put in any kind of cubby hole anywhere, because I want to do it all.
But you're proud of Scream Queen. You don't have any problem with the term at all.
I do not have any problem. I am, for God's sake. Look at my resume.
Yeah.
How could I say I'm not at the top of the horror genre? That would just be stupid.
Well,
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it because, you know, you look at my work in Cujo. People call it a horror film. I think it's more of a psychological thriller, you know. But what woman wouldn't have wanted to star in that film? I mean, for God's sake, it was like a tour de force, you know. Crazy me.
Well, I think it's like the term fangirl. That at one point it may have been considered a derisive term, but I think women have taken the term back. So Scream Queen is, you know, something to be proud of. But maybe you never felt that it was sort of, but you know, horror sort of like the gutter genre. I mean, I don't think that's true anymore, but
not anymore. You're talking about back in the days, you know, where Universal with Frankenstein and the Mummy and all that shit. You can't call A Quiet Place a gutter film, or Cujo, or The Howling. I mean, come on, it's, you know, all half the stuff that the Coen brothers do is really horror. It's just horror without monsters.
But I love, and it's my favorite genre. So I don't, you know, but,
so no, we're,
yeah.
If people have a problem with it, it's pushing some kind of button, I think.
And there's so much different kinds of horror. I mean, there's, you know, subgenres within there. You can always find something that you like. So it's not all, it's certainly not all the same. But we're definitely seeing, I think, a renaissance of that. I think it's definitely coming back in a big way.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. Especially in TV, too.
Yeah, which is great to see. You know, all these anthology shows that are just wonderful and have decent budgets.
Yeah, for sure.
You've worked on that you're particularly fond of watching or that you're proud of?
That I've worked on?
Yeah.
You mean film-wise?
Or TV.
Oh, gosh, yeah, lots of stuff. I mean, I'm Cujo's my favorite of everything I've ever done.
Experience for you.
It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my career. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have a wonderful, it was called the Texas Cadet Murders. And there's a 5-minute scene in there where I receive the news that my daughter's been found dead. Some of the best work I've ever done. You know, I had a comedy on in the 70s, a series called Together We Stand. Loved that series. Loved the work I did in it. Until they let Elliot Gould go and they revamped the whole show. And I kid you not, Together We Stand became Nothing Is Easy. That, it went from those titles, and it kind of sums up the whole damn thing right there.
Wow.
You know, but I prefer to go in and out of characters. I get kind of bored playing the same thing for a long time. If I could find a series where I could play different characters every week, oh my God, that would bring everything together for me. You know,
I'd love to see you on some of the anthology series. That would be awesome.
Not it.
You know?
But I, you know, I have such a well balanced life between the healing stuff and my acting world. And I really like it. I like getting out. I like moving people. I like speaking. I like empowering people. I think I do that in everything I do, even horror films, because you bring your essence into everything you do. You bring your frequency into everything you do. And so I just am really happy with everything that's going on in my life right now.
But it sounds like some of the roles you love the most are the ones that were the most challenging for you.
Always. Give me a challenge. Give me a challenge. You know, they sent me this film from Australia, Red Christmas. And I read it and I went, oh my God, this is another Cujo role. God, can I still do this emotionally and physically? And as soon as I said that, I went, screw that, I'm in. Because you want, give me a challenge, I will meet it. I will find a way. to succeed. But I get bored really easily. So don't put me in something and tell me, just don't do anything, say the lines, Dee, because that would be my own horror film.
Sure. Well, after all your experience, that would be insane to not let you collaborate. I mean, that makes no sense. To have
yeah, you'd be surprised.
Well. Anything you'd like to say to, you know, about, you know, women in the industry? Are you seeing more women directors or women, you know, writers?
Oh, yes. Yes. Many, many, many more. I mean, they're still, you know, it's still kind of a guy's world, but it's really changing out here. The limitations are opening up considerably. And it's an exciting time to be a woman in this industry. And I would just say to all the women in this industry, as well as all women, don't accept any limitations outside of yourself. You are in control of how you create your life and what you want to do with it. And any limitations these days are self-limitations, actually, in all time, but especially in these days. And, you know, that's all the political stuff that's going down in a lot of different areas that are trying to take women's choice away from them. I think you really have to ask yourself, does that resonate with love? When people call on my show and go, you know, Dee, how do you bring all your healing work into the politics? I don't know what to do. And my answer is, if it doesn't resonate with love, don't vote for it.
Okay. And just managing your own outlook and mind to handle, you know, this.
Yeah, well, that's why the first commandment is judge not. Because if we all didn't judge each other and just allowed each other to do what was right for them, we wouldn't have all the religious wars and the, you know, battles around this is what's right and that's not right. And it's just, I am envisioning and directing a world where we accept and honor each other.
I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good world. It's a good world when we do that.
So, where can we listen to your Sunday show? I have to start listening to that now.
Yeah. Well, it's all archived. You can find it on iTunes and iHeart. But if you go to my website, imdwallace.com, or just Google Dee Wallace, it'll bring up my website, and it's on the home page how you can tune in and call in. Again, it's free, and you can call in and ask the channel anything, any guidance you want around money or relationships or sex or health or anything.
So that's pretty amazing. You're pretty busy.
I'm extremely busy, and you know, they just had a wonderful article come out about longevity in Japan and what they attribute the longevity to. And the biggest thing was they get up every morning with a purpose. Whether it's, you know, there was a 105, I think, year old woman. She said, oh, yes, my most important purpose is holding my grandchildren every day.
Aww.
I just loved that. Because we think we have to get up and make money or get up and change the world. Or, you know, I often say to my people, some of the most important characters in my life that changed my life and guided me were women who bake cookies for all the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really have to have more of a purpose than where can I share my love today.
Oh, that's beautiful. that.
Anyway, the show is called Conscious Creation, and you can find it on all kinds of venues. It goes over Blog Talk Radio all over the world.
Okay. I'll definitely post links in the interview.
That would be awesome. And if you could mention my daughter's book, I would be so appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll is there a link to that as well? Or is it published? Right?
No, it will be out June 28th on Amazon.
Okay.
I can send you. I can send you a link to post if you would like.
Awesome. Would
okay, I'll have my assistant do that.
Okay. Thanks so much, Dee. I really appreciated talking to you, and I didn't know I would end up sort of having all this.
Well, it was a great interview, sweetheart. And you see, when you just go where you feel like you ought to go, great things happen. So we're going to create this as a great day, aren't we?
Absolutely.
All right, already. Sweetheart. Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Gurr in Fangirl. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to visit our website, www.squeeprojects.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel for lots more squee as fuck pop culture content.